Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. For this week's podcast, we're at the remodeled Radio Production Awards, which honours the creative talent on the other side of the mic. It was formerly a joint event staged by the Radio Independence Group and the Radio Academy, but this year, RIG has flown solo, and I must say, they organised a terrific night. So congrats to David Press, Nikki Holliday, Will Jackson and the team behind it. In the next few minutes, you'll meet some of the winners, Gemma Kearney, who hosted the show, and Jake Yap, who did a wonderful comic turn impersonating every BBC radio network. There's even a live appearance from Roy Martin with this week's news. You have been warned.
The Radio Today programme, with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
You found the Radio Today programme and we're at the Hippodrome for the Radio Production Awards. Gemma Kearney's been on stage presenting the awards, all the winners, all the other stuff. It's been a great night.
It's been really lovely. I'm actually shocked, in a good way, by how much love there was in the room tonight. It's not too competitive and dog eat dog. It's a real joy for creativity.
You were talking about the pleasure of working with creative producers when you are a presenter. Mm. Can you talk more about that? Because I think a lot of presenters don't really know what producers do.
We do. We pretend not to and we're feeling grumpy and introverted and we're forced not to be because we have to present, that's our job. But my goodness, we know, and well, I know and appreciate a production team massively. And when it's sort of spun on its head, flipped and reversed, when you work with a new team, particularly an independent team, if you work in a huge corporation like the Beeb, which obviously I love and have worked within many networks and nooks and crannies, it can always surprise you what someone new can bring. And someone that works in a different building might have a completely different take on sound. And it's if you love radio like I do, it's very cool.
Does it make any difference to you as a presenter whether you're working in-house or with an indie?
You can feel a difference sometimes, yeah. And it's just, I think it's something to do with environment. I think it's something to do with different ethos from different companies. I mean, there's just, of course, a difference. It's not always that way, but sometimes it is. Working with different groups of people is what radio is about.
Gemma, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great shirt.
One of the big winners tonight, David Tyler, two awards. How do you feel about that?
Tired, because I've got to take them home on the tube and everyone's going to stare at me, mainly, I think.
They kept talking about you as being the person who understands radio comedy. In a sentence or two, what is radio comedy?
I think it's the ability to edit to the point where if you get the timing right, it makes you laugh and then you know.
You were talking about going to Cornwall, to do your editing?
I do. There's an editor called John Whitehall. He used to be one of the leading lights when the BBC had a whole huge department of studio managers. He was always with then, formed his own company. I've edited with him ever since. I work with lots of other fab people as well. But he just somehow makes it sound like Radio 4. And he racks up lots and lots of shows that all win lots and lots of things. And the Cornish Riviera gets more of my custom.
And one final thing, while everybody's celebrating around us, radio comedy, does it have to be just comedy programmes on the radio, or should there be more comedy within the kind of mainstream of ordinary radio?
Or it's difficult to get the tone right, actually, I think, because comedy needs to have an environment set up. I think if you try and do it in the middle of other things, it can fall horribly flat. So I'm going to be very protective and pre-lapsarian about it and say that really it kind of has to stick where it is. It's probably not what anybody wants to hear, but then I would say that, wouldn't I?
Well, congratulations, David. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
It's been a splendid evening. Nikki Holliday produced it. How did you feel it went?
It went really well, and I think the thing that I loved the most was the vibe in the room. The spirit was so positive. Everyone was really friendly and warm, and when other people were winning awards, they were clapping and cheering and just being really proud to be part of the awards and be part of the Independent Sector and be part of the BBC. And it was kind of that coming together and being in one room to celebrate radio that I absolutely loved.
Now, you've mentioned the BBC. You used to work there, so did I. Many of the independent producers in the room did. Is this the new Sonys? Do we need the Sonys anymore?
That's a really difficult one for me to answer, because I think as long as we take time out to recognise the creative talent in the industry and celebrate the industry, however we choose to do that now or in the future, I think as long as we do that to appreciate all the fantastic work that happens, I think that's what really matters.
Lovely evening, well done.
Thank you.
I have found Richie Firth, who was introduced on a screen by Christian O'Connell. Presenter hero, what on earth does that mean?
When I find out, I'll let you know.
He thinks you're a hero.
Yeah, which is nice. I think that that Chris and Geraint, that I was here with tonight, I think they're heroes because they are the two producers of The Breakfast Show. And I thought I was here just to cheer them on for their two nominations. Apparently, I'd be nominated for this presenter's hero thing, which is nice. So,
and how does it work between you and Christian and the team in terms of, you know, which stunt you're going to pull, what you're going to do on the show?
I would say trust, really. I've known Christian since 1999, back in Bournemouth. We first started to working together at 2CR. I think it's down to trust.
When you come up with the ideas, or does he, or do the team?
No, that's a team. It's a team thing, yeah. And we all take Christian's lead. But it wouldn't work without the team. It's,
he talked on the screen about trusting you with his life.
I don't think I took that in because I was stunned at the time. So I'll have to try and find that video again and see what he said. I'm getting married.
He said he calls you Bobby Fuckwit.
Yeah, no, I can vouch for that. He does do that. Yeah, daily. Yeah. That's why he didn't get the best man gig.
Congratulations, Richie. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
I've got the legend that is Gillian Reynolds here. I think this event's growing up, isn't it, Gillian?
It's a wonderful event. It's rich in talent, rich in enthusiasm. And as Gemma Kenny said, there was magic in the room. There was energy. And somebody else, Roger Bolton, said energy, imagination, anarchy. And he wished there was the same in television. And, you know, radio is such a great medium. And it's wonderful to see it expanding and growing and recognising its own strength as a real force for entertainment in the 21st century.
You find yourself listening, I know, to a lot of radio. Are you aware what's being made by the independent producers and what's being made by the BBC? Does it matter?
It's growing too fast to keep up with, but that's a good thing. But for the last 3 years at The Telegraph, we've had a special person, Pete Norton, younger than me. He does the podcast and the online radio, and our readers love it. I think we should salute the whole of radio, that the way that it fits into the 21st century pant of communications, like a hand into a velvet glove. Here's to the wireless.
Thank you, Gillian. Well, there was a comedy turn tonight, and it was you, Jake Yap.
It was a comedy flavour turn.
Why did you decide to commit professional suicide?
I know, I don't know. It's something I've done a few times, actually, in my career. I used to work at BBC Radio Leeds. I did a little stint there presenting a few years ago. And I wasn't really thinking it through. You know, I'm very bad at joining the dots. So I put a clip on YouTube, which my bosses saw. And they basically sent me a text message saying, take that down now. And I went in the next morning to do my radio show, and I just thought, this is my last show, that's it, it's over. And afterwards I had to have this meeting with the head of the channel, and she was like, what is wrong with you? I mean, what is wrong with you? She reduced me to tears in this meeting. I was like, I'm sorry, I just wasn't thinking, I didn't realize. And she said, is this, have you got some self-destructive edge to you? Is that what it is? And I'm starting to wonder, maybe that's the case.
Because we love your Radio 4 in 4 minutes. You did feedback in what?
I did.
2 minutes?
Yeah, 60 seconds.
You did the whole of British radio today in 6 or 7 minutes. A tour de force.
Well, that's very kind of you. I mean, I think you can only really successfully parody something if you love it. It's that family dynamic. You know, it's like a family member that you know and you love to pieces, but they drive you up the wall. And I think that, you know, if you can harness that, then you've won. Because nobody wants anything that's really just horribly cold and cynical. I think that, you know, the pieces that work are the pieces that actually come from love.
You do seem to be able to parody everybody across, you know, all the networks and commercial radio. That must mean you're a pretty sad guy because you don't do anything but listen to the radio.
I have no life whatsoever. You can't imagine. I live in Bedfordshire. I mean,
oh,
imagine.
Oh,
I
know. No. How I know. Bad could it get?
Well, we just got a flushing toilet. Oh. But no, you're right. I mean, I'm a big consumer of radio, and the thing is now, it's insane how much stuff there is. And you know, Audible, who are present here tonight and, you know, sponsored one of the awards, there's too much good stuff.
And
like,
do any of these people in the room ever employ you?
Never.
That's because they're problem. Worried for their own careers.
You know, Jay. I'll tell you the weirdest thing, right? Which is, I did the original Radio 4 in 4 minutes as a kind of cri de coeur. It transpired. It was I put that on YouTube the day before my son was born. And it was, I was sort of thinking, I've got no money, I don't know what I'm doing, I need to go and get a day job. Like, this is ridiculous. I need to abandon this pretense of trying to become a comedian. It's not going to happen. Radio 4, I'm never going to commission that series. And so, just in despair, you know, I kind of put this piece up thinking, well, I'll just burn my bridges. You know, so be it. And, you know, it went, I mean, it didn't go viral, but to steal a joke from Dilly Keen, it went fungal. You know, it did quite well. And I heard from someone inside the BBC in the comedy department that the head of the comedy department had sent it round saying, what, listen to this, it's really funny. And I thought, what? And, you know, my mind was blown because I thought, I don't understand. You know, this was me burning my bridges and now suddenly everyone's like, oh, this is really funny. And it totally kind of kick-started my career. It totally rebooted it. And now, you know, the hilarious thing is I'm going to be on Radio 4 next month. They've had me on all kinds of shows. I did War and Peace in 60 seconds on The World Tonight. Is that what it's called, The World Tonight? That's what
there
I mean.
There is a World Tonight.
Yeah, The World Tonight. I'm sorry.
I'm on that
very
BBC
strong
4.
Antibiotics. Yeah. I've heard of it, yeah.
And you've done telly, you've done sport.
I've done all kinds of it.
The Euros or the World Cup, whatever it was.
I did Deadline
I wasn't
Day.
Listening.
No, neither was I. I didn't know anything about it, to be honest with you. There is a funny thing that sometimes people will come and they'll sort of say, hey, can you do a piece on this? And I'll say, I don't really know it. And they'll say, well, just say this. I go, okay. And I basically transcribe what they've said. And they go, oh, that's brilliant. I'm like, you're welcome.
Jake, thanks very much for talking to Radio Today.
It's my pleasure. It's been lovely to finish my career here tonight.
If you need a music entertainment producer, if you want the best music entertainment producer, then you've come to the right place because Kelly Redmond is here. Kelly, congratulations.
Thank you.
What makes a great music entertainment producer in your view?
I just think having lots of quirky ideas. I mean, I think, I'm shit at this, Trevor. I can't do it. I really can't do it.
Helen Zaltzman is here, not picking up an award, but presenting one.
Yes, that's
that must
right.
have been nice, though.
Oh, it's a very easy job. That's enjoyable. I was worried I might not be able to get the envelope open, but they'd left it open, so everything went smoothly.
Just before we talk about other productions in the UK, how's Radiotopia going?
It's an absolute delight, Trevor, because being paid to do whatever you want is a privilege of a situation that...
Because you make The Allusionist, which we all listen to, I'm sure.
Of course.
And you're part of this, what do we call it, a cooperative, a conglomerate?
Yeah, the ethos of it was like a punk record label, but with speech instead of music. That was the principle of setting it up. And so we own all our shows and someone else makes sure we get paid. Unreal.
What's wrong with that then?
Well,
that'll never catch on.
It seems like it's too ideal to sustain, but I'm enjoying it while it lasts, just in case.
And does that mean, I'm just interested in the kind of philosophy of this, have you stopped thinking, I am Helen who makes programmes for BBC and other UK providers, and started thinking, no, I'm a world broadcaster?
I don't think I ever thought I'm someone who makes programmes for BBC. Now I suppose I'm just full-time Helen Zaltzman. I don't know what the market is for that.
You've got the right name for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice just actually to be able to make programmes and not have to wait for a year for a commissioner to give me permission, and they can be about whatever I want. So.
And are people, briefly, Helen, taking podcasts and online audio a bit more seriously than they did?
I think this year has been very transformative, and the last few months in particular, I've really smelt the fear amongst a lot of people who have been in radio for all of their careers, and suddenly they're like, maybe I need a plan B, help me. And I think they're actually probably fine, but I don't think it will necessarily hurt them to be a bit less comfortable. Not in a bad way, but just actually galvanise them to do a bit more work, maybe, or push the work a bit harder. Because the thing is, even if you're making a radio programme, a lot of them now are doing that thinking, oh, we'll put it out as a podcast. But they think the podcast can be worse because, you know, but actually it has to be better because it's competing against everything, and every time you have to win the listener's attention. So you can't just crap it out.
Thank you, Helen.
A lot of people do.
The indie of the year was TBI Media, who is a company run by Phil Critchlow, who's also the chair of the Radio Independence Group. I didn't think you saw that coming.
I honestly didn't. And actually, but bizarrely, I did want to say thank you to Claire, my wife, who's actually not been to one of these sort of things before, but did for the first 6 years of the business, do all the books and give me permission to do it. and actually was completely unawares when I got quite emotional about it, to be honest.
I wanted to ask you about this because when I first met you and you were just sort of leaving the BBC and you went off to work at Unique, we called you really a freelance in those days, and you built this company from nothing. Looking back on those years, what advice would you give to people who think, well, I couldn't possibly do that, I couldn't build an Indie of the Year?
It sounds ridiculous, but you kind of got to take it one step at a time. The first decision is put some money in the bank and take that plunge. What's the worst that can happen, really? Providing you're relatively sensible about giving yourself some breathing space, because the commissioning process takes time. You know, it can take 12 months, 18 months before you start to earn money. But if you plan to do that and just take it one step at a time and have ideas which are surprising, you know, whenever you think that's as far as we can take that idea, take it a bit further, because what you'll have to do is have ideas that stand out. So if you're that kind of person, and there are loads of people out there that are, just kind of go for it, you know.
And how important is it, Phil, to strike a balance between the big showpiece productions that you've made your name with and the, as it were, the meat and drink, the regular strands that you need on Radio 1 or 2 or wherever?
Radio is absolutely the heart of everything we do. One of our most important strands undoubtedly is Pause for Thought. It lasts 90 seconds. We are absolutely passionate about Pause for Thought. It sits in Chris Evans, it sits overnight, it sits with some great presenters, and it connects with people in a way which is very, very powerful. We're also lucky enough, taking it to the other extreme, to do, as you've said, stuff in the Albert Hall and stuff in aircraft hangars, which I love. It's personally one of my things. But without the really important, intimate one-to-one radio, which I hope is still at the heart of what we do, we wouldn't be here.
Well, just a word about the event itself, as well as being a great showpiece for you and your company. It's been a good event, hasn't it? And I think it's growing in stature.
It's been a fantastic event. What was absolutely outstanding for me was the warmth in the room. And that isn't always the case at these sort of things. Everybody was pleased for everybody else, was the sense that I got. There was a real sense of community, and that is what is going to be the most important thing to allow radio to continue in the way it is. There's got to be that sense of community. And I think the level of production has been fantastic tonight. I think David and his team have done a brilliant job of pulling it together. I think it's really set a benchmark, and I think this event can only grow now.
Well done, Phil. Well done, TBI. Well done, Rig, if I may say so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you very much indeed, Trevor.
This is the Radio Today programme. Normally at this point, I'd hand over to Roy Martin.
Hi.
Who would... Oh, he's here already. How did that happen?
It's the wonder of radio, or is it wonder of podcasting?
You're not going to do the news live, are you?
I am. As you've been speaking to Phil, I've been looking at this week's headlines.
Oh, my word. Go.
So I might tell you one or two of them, if that's okay. You have to introduce me, though.
Here's Roy Martin.
Why, thank you very much, Trevor. The big news of the week, of course, is the Radio Production Awards, which you've been hearing about. Congratulations to all the winners, including TBI Media and Phil, who won Indie of the Year. Yay! In other news this week, Town and Country Broadcasting will be launching a new national DAB station in Wales. It's going to be called Nation Gold, and it will start after the temporary festive station Nation Christmas ends just after Christmas Day. And Radio City 2 will move to FM in Liverpool from December the 7th with a local breakfast show and a local drive time show after Ofcom recently agreed a format change along with Radio City Talk. That's the very latest. I'm Roy Martin.
And I have some extra stock press, Roy.
Whoa, go on.
Broadcast Bionics are going to make some new adverts.
No.
They are, so this may be one of the very last times.
Oh, but I love
that
hearing
we play this.
I love hearing that long list of random products.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of PhoneBox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, NewsBoss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
100 years of radio.
With all this talk of Scotland increasingly ploughing its own furrow, let's remember it was only 37 years ago this week when the country got its own proper radio station.
Well, this is a gala night for radio. In fact, a new era of broadcasting in Scotland started today with the birth of Scotland's first national radio station, the new Radio Scotland on 370 metres and VHF.
Good old VHF. And VHF FM was the only wave band to remain unchanged this week in 1978.
A new international frequency agreement comes into effect.
Some commercial stations moved a little. For example, Capital, Forth and Hallam moved from 1546 to 1548, Trent from 998 to 999, Piccadilly and Clyde from 1151 to 1152. Meanwhile, at the BBC, it was radical change, and BBC One TV joined up with all the radio stations to explain it live. Let's go nationwide.
And now we welcome radio listeners from all four radio networks to Nationwide on BBC One. We're getting together for the first time ever in order to help you identify all the BBC radio stations and their frequencies. So here they are from one to four.
Hi, this is Kid Jensen on Radio 1, now broadcasting on 275 and 285 metres. That's 1089 and 1053 kilohertz in the medium wave.
Hello, John Dunn here on behalf of all of us on Radio 2. We broadcast now on 433 and 330 metres medium wave.
Hello, this is Britta Hughes on Radio 3, broadcasting on 247 metres. That's 1215 kilohertz on the medium wave.
Hello, this is Moira Stewart on Radio 4. We now broadcast on 1500 metres, 200 kilohertz on the long wave, and on VHF FM in England.
The big frequency changes this week in 1978. It's 20 years now since we lost this voice.
Radio 1, Stewart Henry.
Help me! All right, lads, are we blast then?
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning.
The weekend, baby, is starting right here.
208 Daily Mirror News.
And with the time just before 1 o'clock, here is indeed the news headlines. Britain is to get the new Leyland Mini, provided real progress is made to put industrial relations...
Stuart Henry, who appeared on The Pirates on Radio 1, and then much loved on Luxie, where he continued living with his MS on air alongside his wife, as I recall. And whilst we're with Radio Luxembourg, it's 33 years since Barry Aldiss died.
This is Radio Luxembourg, your station of the stars, broadcasting on 208 metres medium wave. It's time for Top 20. Hi, everybody. This is your DJBA Barry Aldiss at the microphone. It's great to be with you again. Yes, here we go with all that's best in the world of wax. Pops aplenty in Top 20. And number one on the list? Well, they've made it. Those sensational Supremes with Baby Love.
Radio sounded so much more fun back then. Barry Aldiss, your DJBA, who died this week in 82. Happy birthday, BBC Radio Merseyside.
Out now by radio link to our reporting team. In the air, on the river, and underground. I'm sorry, we can't go to the beacon where Jerry Harrison should be, so on we go now to the second Mersey Tunnel.
No, I mean, standing at the excavation...
I bet somebody got very angry about all that. BBC Radio Merseyside launching.
Hello. Sorry about that. We couldn't get Jerry Harrison, who at the moment, we hope, is on top of the beacon here in Liverpool.
It's all right, don't mention it. Let it go. It's a long time ago now. As far as PR stunts are concerned, this one did the business.
Absolute Radio 60s.
A radio station dedicated to playing 60s music is to ban Sir Cliff from their playlist.
In a funny, strange way, they're using me to advertise their station, and I hope they're going to be really successful.
Absolute 60 is launching this week 4 years ago. More drama in Birmingham this week in 81.
And now I'm very sorry to say that BBC Radio Birmingham is closing down. Yes, we're closing down, and we're closing down for good. But tomorrow, Radio WM takes to the airwaves with all your favourite programmes and presenters. And, of course, it'll be louder and better than ever. That's Radio WM, the sound of local radio for the 1980s, in tune with the West Midlands.
Radio WM.
It was all a bit odd, to be honest. One day we were Radio Birmingham, the next we were Radio WM.
A name change for the BBC in Birmingham this week, 34 years ago. And it's 7 years this week since Power FM in Hampshire.
Power FM, Southampton.
Became Galaxy South Coast. It's now Capital. Meanwhile, up in Carlisle this week in 1973... Ah, the jolly sound of BBC Radio Carlisle, the last in the first round of BBC Local Radio. It launched this week 42 years ago. It's now Radio Cumbria. This week, 60 years ago, we first heard this tune, adopted as an ident for the World Service in English.
Tonight we present Lily Bolero.
Lily Bolero, still heard, good old Lily, on the BBC World Service. But it began BBC usage in 1941 for a different purpose.
Into battle. On the occasion of Adolf Hitler's birthday, we present the first of a series of programmes designed in some sort to reflect what he, and we also, may have forgotten. The fighting spirit of the people of Britain.
Happy birthday, Lily. 60 years on the BBC World Service. Let's finish with a taste of the chap we lost this week 9 years ago.
The lower top 20 stop press reports the loss of Buddy Holly's brown-eyed handsome man. Down this week for Brenda Lee from 12 to 15. The Chiffons from 15 to 18. Springfield's from 16 to 20. The Shantays from 18 to 19. And it's up for Freddie and the Dreamers.
He didn't used to bother hitting the posts in the music back then, did he? Farewell, Fluff.
And number 10 in our Saturday show, Rock Top 20 Music Lovers, Eagles. Title track there from Hotel California.
So, with the death of Radio 4's Nick Clark 9 years ago...
Welcome to Tring in Hertfordshire, sometimes said to be further from the sea than any town in England.
Wilfred Pickles joining the BBC 74 years ago, the first newsreader not to speak with received pronunciation.
This is the BBC Home and Forces programme. Here's the news.
Paul Burnett celebrating his 72nd birthday.
Here's a dedication on the programme from member number 13930 in the Club 208. The name is Kath.
And radio beginning in Australia this week 92 years ago with soprano Dorothy Deering on 5SB. Who's all this week's Radio Moments?
Radio Moments!
Cheers, David, and thanks again to everyone involved in the RPAs. You can see a complete list of the winners at radiotoday.co.uk. This has been a TDC production. I've been Trevor Dan. See you next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.